This program is brought to you by Pussy Magnets. Putting men down your friends with a
Pussy Magnet. Welcome, welcome, my lovely lumps. Or should I say lovely labs? I'm so thrilled to have you here in the Labia Lounge. We're going to yarn about all things sexuality, womanhood, relationships, intimacy, holistic health, and everything in between. Your legs. Ooh. Can't help myself. Anyway, we're going to have vag loads of real chats with real people about real shit. So buckle up. You're about to receive the sex ed that you never had and have a bloody good laugh while you're at it. Before we dive in, I'd like to respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which I'm recording this, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. It's an absolute privilege to be living and creating dope podcast content in Naam, and I pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging. Now, if y'all are ready, let's flap and do this. Oh my God, is there such thing as too many vagina jokes in the one intro? Whatever, it's my podcast. I'm leaving it in.
Don't panic, you're not broken. Your sex education was a piece of shit. Get your flaps out and pull up a couch. It's the Labia Lounge.
Ah, shit.
Far out, woman. What's got sand in your clam now?
Pew, 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 pew. Sand in my clam.
Hello, labial legends. Welcome back to another Sand in My Clam episode. If you haven't tuned into any sandy clams before, basically the gist of it is that I get friends and experts on alike to just tell me what's getting sand in their clam, and basically then we have a bit of an informal discussion about it. And my dear friend Matt is joining me. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We've been kind of circling doing this episode for a while, and we seem to always talk about these sorts of themes when we catch up IRL. So do you want to tell me – well, actually, introduce yourself a little bit first.
Yeah, beautiful. My name's Matt. I'm 30-year-old queer man from Naam, working as a family lawyer, originally from the country and now very much a city boy.
Oh, that's why I like you. I reckon I really gravitate towards people that also grew up in the country. Something about them feels like a safe space for me.
Absolutely. It's a different way of talking to one another. I don't know what it is.
I call it having a bogan backbone.
Oh, I like
it. Which is not always a good thing, for sure. Definitely not always a safe space, but I think if you've like come to the city, you're a bit more open-minded and progressive and you've like done a bit of work on yourself, having a bogan backbone is like such an asset.
Absolutely. It's a little community thing or something.
It's like a sense of humor, not taking yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. The seriousness. It's like it's
not pretentious, is it?
No.
It's like we're Jenny from the block. Like we know where we came
That's
from.
Us. Definitely. That's us.
I know you're a big shot family lawyer now, but
oh god, no.
All right, so how about you tell us what's getting sand in your clam, and then we can just launch off from there. And if you prefer, I don't know what the penis equivalent to that would be. I guess just like sand under your foreskin.
Sand under my foreskin.
Getting grit on your dick.
Refresh me, please, on the segment before I dive into it.
It's just, well, I think we were going to cover like the, I don't know if we'd say outrage, but the like disappointment and, yeah, sort of at least a little bit of outrage that you feel when you go to the gay sauna nights and
yes,
there's just like no consent and it's just not a safe space.
Oh, my gosh, yes, okay. Yeah. So I am a frequent visitor to one of the saunas in Melbourne, one of the queer saunas.
How many are there? How many like
queer
saunas are there?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah. Two owned by the same people, one Northside, one Bayside.
Okay.
And then another in the city. I frequent the Northside one.
Just because of convenience? Yeah. Okay.
But probably I suspect that it's the clientele that would suit me best as well. I would suspect in the city would be more tourists, tradies, corporate people.
Okay. Have you ever tried the other ones?
No, I haven't. So I
might have to do some research, dude. Well,
I know. Casting aspersions too early, aren't I? So no, I've only ever been to the north side one, Wet on Wellington, in Collingwood. I love it.
Wet on Wellington.
Wet on Wellington. I know.
That even sounds really like subtle, pornographic.
Right? Gets you in the mood before you've even gone. I love it. I love it. It is such a quick way for me to meet people without the whole hassle of apps beforehand. People know what they want. They go to a sauna. They're there to connect, whether that be for penetrative sex or just to chat in the sauna. It's everyone's open to some sort of connection when you walk in that door.
Okay. And is it is it like one night a week is gay night, or like is it every night it's a queer sauna, or what's the vibe?
Yeah. So it historically was just a men only space.
Okay. Yeah.
Safe place for queer men, but strict on that. I had stories of friends who have been, you know, out on Smith Street in some, you know, drag or heels or a skirt, haven't been let in. Like cis men, still, if you're slightly femme presenting, we're not let in. Shitty. I hate these stories. But more recently, in the last 6 months, maybe a year, have started with queer nights, which is great.
Cool.
Thursday nights, you know, all genders welcome.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And I think I remember you telling me, like, because this was such a new concept to me, but you go in and there's like porn playing on big screens, and there's like it's like being in a fucking nightclub in Germany, but for gays and in a sauna.
Exactly right. Exactly right. If only the music they played was as, you know, was like in Berlin.
Oh my God, what kind of music are we talking?
Oh my gosh. Sometimes you luck out and it's some good, you know, housey electronic something. Sometimes it's Ariana.
Whoa.
And it is it's not sexy.
Okay.
That's not sexy.
Yeah.
for me. Yeah. So downstairs is like the sauna area. That's where there's the sauna, the wet steam room, the pool, some showers, lockers, and a bar and a little food or cafe thing. I haven't got the chicken and chips. Yeah, you can. We talk about a bogan backbone. Oh, wow. You should see it.
Oh, my God. Fuck this me. Is blowing my mind. Mm. This place sounds like such a mixture of things that I wasn't expecting in one place. Okay. And so that's where you mingle?
That's where you mingle.
Okay.
It's meant to be no sex on the bottom floor.
Meant to be?
Meant to be.
What happened?
Does not. No, it's just to that. The steam room is the where the most hookups would happen.
Whoa.
Because everyone's anonymous and a lot of people love it.
Anonymous because it's so steamy you can't see one another properly and it's dark?
And so dark.
Whoa. Yes. Okay.
The ASMR in that steam room is wild.
Oh, my God. Because everything's, like, dripping and wet as well. So
And it's
echoey.
Silent apart from sex. It's pretty wild.
Okay, cool.
I love it for the ASMR. I find that stunning. I go in there, you hear everybody, like, jerking off. It's, like, it's hot.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Wicked. Okay, tell me more.
But then the sex in the steam room, nah, not for me. I want to be able to see who I'm hooking up with. It doesn't turn me on, the anonymity. It does for other people, but, yeah, I want
to. So can you just go in there to have a wank?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But likely that you'll get touched in there. Mm. Whether you want it or not, like it's leading into our consent conversation.
Which is the topic of why we're here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Steam room, high level sex area.
Wow.
Sauna, I like to hook up in the sauna, obviously, you know, or the showers. You're not meant to, but they're hot, they're sexy areas.
So where are you meant to hook up?
Upstairs. That's where all the porn rooms are.
What?
Yes.
Oh, where they're screening porn?
Exactly.
Are they also wet rooms up there, or it's like
no,
not saunery?
Dry spaces upstairs.
Okay.
Yes.
With like couches, beds, like what are we talking?
Exactly. So a mix of two communal areas where they're playing porn. They have a sex swing. They have couches. They have, group dark rooms. Some of them, I don't go into them. And then there's private cubicles everywhere. Some are the most narrow, squashed in there, trying to get your legs up here and here.
These are cubicles designed to fuck in?
Yeah.
Like, is this a purpose-built kind of
space? Yes, absolutely.
For hooking up. Whoa.
So it's all, the material you'd have on a massage table.
Right, yep, vinyl. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Easy to clean, waterproof. Wow.
All lockable. All with lube and condoms.
Oh.
Well set up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it expensive to get in?
$30.
It's chill.
Yeah.
Free lubes and condom.
Right.
And ASMR in the steam room.
Hello.
People pay that to go have a sauna in a steam.
Exactly.
Let alone, I mean, is the porn well curated? Like, what are we talking?
Yeah, no. Look, the porn is pretty low-brain porn. It's just standard porn,
gay porn.
Exactly. On queer nights, they play a mix of.
Okay. Everyone loves lesbian porn, right?
Which I've never seen.
I don't know, because most straight women and straight men love lesbian. Pretty much everyone seems to love lesbian porn, but I don't know about totally gay men.
No.
Nah.
I think the answer is no. There's always running joke that lesbians and gay men hard to find common ground, and I don't think lesbian porn is one of them.
Totally.
Yeah.
I say that.
Yeah. So I love the porn rooms. Mm-hmm. They're one of my favorite spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's sitting there jerking off, watching the TV, but not really watching the TV, just, throwing eyes. And it's really slow.
Sitting there jerking off, throwing eyes at one another in the porn room.
Uh-huh.
So how do you, initiate or approach? I mean, this is, I guess, what's being done not very well in there sometimes.
Exactly. So I think that's why, for me, it's a well-lit part of the venue.
Mm-hmm.
You can sense someone's energy from afar, sitting a couple of meters away on a different couch before you interact with them at all. That's important for me. I've had lots of interactions where you're passing in the hallway, it's much narrower space, you quickly start hooking up, you go into a cubicle, and then you're like, oh wait, no,
because you see them properly or you get a better vibe and
you start,
you change your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just all off, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to leave now. And it's just, so I prefer a much slower,
and sorry to keep cutting you off, but there's so many little tangents I want to. So when that happens, what do you do to get out of that situation?
Oh, it's hard. I try and be as, polite as possible to not, ruin anyone's night.
Hey, I just realized you're ugly. I want to stop.
I couldn't see you, but now I've got full view. I just usually say something like, I'm not feeling it. I'm going to head off, have a lovely night, handsome, and
nice.
Kiss on the cheek, and, try and build them
soften
up a
the
little
blow.
Bit.
Yeah.
Because it's usually, I'll normally never engage with someone that I don't find physically attractive. So there's nothing about it that I don't, it's more of an energy sort of mismatch.
Yeah. Yeah,
once that happens.
You try before you buy, and then you decide, I'm not really vibing this, and I paid $30, so I may as well go make the most of my money and see what other dicks are in this bloody steam room.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Listen out for the other dicks in the steam room. So I much prefer, arm's length.
Yeah.
Make eyes.
Yeah.
Start to heat up. And then
circle each other for a bit, long enough to properly get more of a read.
Exactly right.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly right. Which is one of my – the whole beef I had was the complete lack of consent in this place, though. I think just culturally it's been men only. And you think that queer men are much more, in touch with their – a sensitivity or something, or not really.
Sure, maybe, really. But they're still men, which means they still have so much more entitlement and privilege. They've grown up being told to go after what they want and not take no for an answer. And they've been like literally programmed to feel as though not doing that is a sign of weakness. So they're more assertive and they're more entitled and they have less empathy.
100%. And then you're in this, you add that to your inner space where
hypersexualized.
Right.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. That's the expectation. No. Oh. It's not the expectation that I get groped 4 or 5 times before I actually interact with someone that I'm, you know, want to interact with.
So set the scene for like what, like you're in the shower or you're just walking past and someone like grabs your ass, grabs your dick. What are we talking?
All of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the worst ones was I'm in one of the private showers. I like to use the private showers when I first get there. There's like ones right near the steam room. They're raunchy showers. Yes. These ones off to the side. I go there.
Ease yourself in.
I do. And I was closing my eyes, washing my hair, you know, whatever. And had not even seen anyone else in the shower area. They walked in while I'm washing my head and face and have just grabbed my dick.
Oh, my. While you've got your eyes closed and, like, soap threatening to dribble into them. That's, like, especially vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wiping my face off and like, what the fuck, you know?
Oh.
That was one of the worst ones. I was very proud of myself. I stood up to that person. I was like, you need to leave.
Nice.
I was like, that's not okay and you need to leave. And then I think he left the venue a couple minutes later and I was like, good.
Great.
Good. Perfect. You can't, you know, you shouldn't feel safe to do that in this space. Like, yeah. That's not fair.
Oh, God.
Some of the more minor ones, they're just, you know, you're walking in the hall past someone and because you can't physically get away from them, the hallways are narrow. It's a haunted house, but with sex rooms. So they're just opportunistic and will grab your dick, grab your butt.
Yeah.
Any chance they get.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, yeah, you're having the experience of like every woman ever.
Right. Welcome.
Objectified.
Welcome to our world. Yeah. 100%.
Shit, that sucks. It feels crap.
But how ridiculous. This is a space designed for sex.
Mm-hmm.
How do we not know how to make that safe?
Yeah, like, it's a big oversight on the people that run the, like, honestly, like, so irresponsible to not have ground rules, maybe have to sign a consent form or have, like, a sign as you walk in or have to give, you know, your license and be like one warning, two and you're out. And if you do these things or, you know, just some level of accountability around consent, like mm-hmm. it seems wild that they've just opened up the doors and it's a free for all and there's zero, like what would happen if can you go and tell a staff member, hey, this person's made me feel uncomfortable. That's not okay. And do they act or?
Well, so yeah, you're meant to be able to talk to the staff, right? Mm. How do I know who has just groped me as there are 15 different men walking past me. I
in look the dark.
Back in the dark.
Yeah.
I go downstairs to tell them, can you point him out to us? I go, can't find him for the next 10 minutes because it's a large venue. Like,
true.
It just, there's too many loopholes in like, just come tell us. And I'm like, it doesn't. And what's going to kill my buzz further? Quick grope, yep, that kills it. But then go downstairs.
And have
talk to the front desk, then try and get back on the horse after that. It's a shitty reason not to call someone out.
But it's another layer of difficulty and it's just another barrier
mm-hmm.
when it's already a difficult thing. Like, and I think, like, you know, something to consider as well is, like, sometimes there would be really young or inexperienced or vulnerable people there who don't know how to stand up for themselves or say no. And because there's like just these super entitled horn dog fucking, I'm assuming probably a lot of the time they're like boomers.
Absolutely.
Or like older.
Yeah.
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 Fuck, cunts, man.
Oh, my God.
They're from a different generation, yep. And they don't give a fuck about consent.
No, they don't. Well, they don't.
They never learned about it. They literally don't get the concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this makes me think back to one guy I dated. He was, 10 years older, maybe 15 years older. I didn't think we would have a mismatch of, sexual understanding like we did. Oh, my God. I remember he asked me, do you top or your bottom? Like, what's your preference? And I said, oh, look, I'm versatile, but, like, usually top. I said, I struggle to find men who enjoy topping who actually know how to be consensual, to go slowly, to make someone feel comfortable to bottom. So I said, I just don't do it because it's hard to find.
Mm.
And he goes, well, you either want it or you don't want it. I was like, oh, hun.
Oh. And was he a top or a bottom?
Top.
Okay, so he obviously doesn't fucking understand what it's like to have someone plow your asshole until it bleeds because they have zero, like, far out, man.
Ugh. Like, who is letting that person inside them?
Yuck.
Like,
yuck.
Nah, sorry.
Nah.
If you really don't understand how vulnerable it is to bottom.
Oh, my God. Like,
you shouldn't be topping.
No. And I'm always saying on this podcast, all men need to cop some shit up the bum because they they don't have an embodied experience of how vulnerable it is to be penetrated by someone else and not be in control of, like, your orifices getting I just think it's an important experience to even just have at least once to know, like, how much gentleness and carefulness and tenderness and just, like, you know, compassion and empathy you need to hold to create a safe space for someone to, like, penetrate them, like, especially bum holes.
Right.
They don't fucking lubricate themselves. They're so much, like, less
specifically spacey made for
than
it.
A vagina.
Uh-huh.
Like,
uh-huh.
Vaginas can, like, cop some, like, obviously still need to be very careful and, like, considerate, but, like, assholes, there's a lot less wiggle room.
Very
for,
unforgiving.
Like, yeah, unforgiving.
Very unforgiving. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's mortifying to me. Hey, baby babes. Sorry to interrupt. I just had to pop my head into the lounge here and mention another virtual lounge that I'd love you to get around. It's the Labia Lounge Facebook group that I've created for listeners of the potty to mingle in. There you'll find extra bits and bobs like freebies, behind the scenes, or discounts for offerings from guests who have been interviewed on the podcast. There'll also be, hopefully, inspiring, thought-provoking conversations and support from a community of labial legends like yourself. My vision for this is that it becomes a really supportive, educational, and hilarious resource for you to have more access to me and a safe space to ask questions you can't ask anywhere else. So head over to links in the show notes or look up the Labia Lounge group in Facebook and I'll see you in there. And now back to the episode. That's kind of making me think of my friend Max. He was talking about this. It's like a similar thing. He's like, I've got this friend, he's gay, and he's like, and just whenever he talks about his sex life and, like, the guys he's sleeping with and just, like, the kind of gay, like, dating and sex, like, realms, he's like, I feel really uncomfortable with how he talks about it because it's just, like, a bunch of men being men and having less empathy and tenderness and emotional agility with one another. And so he's just, like, aggressively sexual and, like, unempathetic because that's just the standard that, and I don't know if this is in all gay circles, obviously not, but, like, yeah, Max was observing that for his friend and his other kind of friends who are gay and, like, in that world of, like, they're not dating, they're having casual sex and hookups and stuff.
Yep.
It just sounded, like, honestly frightening and, like, really, like, gross and objectify and, like, aggressive.
That is absolutely my experience too.
Wow.
What
the fuck?
It's awful. And whether you are inherently at the beginning of your gay sexual experience, if that's your go-to, if that's your natural way of being, or you come to it with a more softer approach, it doesn't matter. That's the overriding feeling in the way we interact sexually. It's just aggressive. So you feel you have to rise to that, lower yourself to that, whatever you may call it. There's a pressure to behave that way too. And for me personally, I dated a woman for 6 years.
Whoa.
Before I started, sleeping with men.
Mm.
And so that taught me how to approach sex and relationships in a completely different way.
Whoa, that's valuable. Yes. Did you know you were queer then, just hadn't figured it out yet?
No.
But so are you – so could you get into pussy?
Look, I don't know anymore. Don't know. Part of me likes to hold on to it and be like, yes, I'm, you know, wouldn't label myself gay now. I think it's a very small part of my sexuality
that
remains with women.
Yeah.
It's been years since I've had sex with a woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the way I interact having sex with men though is just so different to a lot of other gay men because they'd never had a long-term relationship with a woman. Yeah. They never felt that vulnerability,
My gosh.
Softness.
Yeah. It really it's so, I think whether people admit it to themselves or realize it or not, safety and emotional tenderness is so important to, have a really rewarding sexual experience. Sure, maybe for a while you can get into just hard and fast, aggressive fucking and there's something erotic and tantalizing about that. Potentially, but I just feel that's so two-dimensional if that's the only kind of sex that you're having and if that's just the industry standard in the gay community. How do you break, but obviously there would be people that can that can step out of that and have really lovely, beautiful, tender sex, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And I've been surprised by the number of men that I have found at a place like Wet on Wellington that are willing to have that slow,
cool,
passionate, even if it's for half an hour. We met in the sauna. They still know how to do that and enjoy that.
Yeah.
So that's been a nice part of realizing that just because it's a highly sexualized space does not mean it has to be aggressive or super fleeting or,
And I guess the more people that are comfortable enough in themselves that they don't have to feel as though they have to conform to that really hyper mask aggressive approach to hook up culture or whatever, the more that slowly sort of shifts the standard and the way, I guess, is it, oh, I was going to say, is it a maturity thing? But then I'm but it sounds like the older crew are worse at that.
I think that's what I've worked out. And I have a preference myself for older men.
Mm.
I love grey hairs. I love the wisdom. I love, I don't know, something. Something about it makes me feel safe. older men. And then they open their mouths about consent and I'm like, okay, we're done here.
Far out. Shit. So I think your idea of getting the sauna, and we should do this. Now that we're having this conversation on air, we should do this.
Yes.
What was the organization that makes those flyers about consent?
Yes. I think it was Drip Feed. That we were talking about.
I have to get them on as well.
Yeah.
And they make little infographic flyers and things that we could get them to give everyone as they walk in the door or something.
Exactly. I found out about them through a sex party. I think they were handing out these at the door as you entered. But good news, I went on just this Thursday, Friday Eve, to Wet, and it was their queer night.
Mm-hmm.
They've done exactly what you and I talked about. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Awesome.
They had there was this long line and I was like, oh, what's going on? Why is it so? It's because they've got new entry on the queer night only, but they had a conditions of entry form all about consent, detailed, you know, if someone says no, do not continue to follow them around the venue. Like it went into very specific examples.
They must have had so many complaints then, like.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that they've stepped up to do it for women and gender diverse people.
Yeah.
On the queer nights. Why the hell am I? Right. Why? Okay. So you know what? And they had a security guard.
Surely, like, the other nights when it's men only, it's way more problematic. Like, literally the fact that the more men in the building, the more you're going to need that in place.
And that's – I spoke to the guy handing out the leaflets, one of the, you know, staff members, and I said, oh, my gosh, thank you. I was actually, you know, I said, you've seen me most weeks for a couple of years now. I was going to talk to you about this very thing. And he goes, oh, still please come talk to us. I was like, yeah, because why are we not doing this every single night? This is ridiculous. Yeah. If you know, you do know then how to do it.
Yeah.
You're just not.
Yeah. Don't be lazy about that shit, guys.
How is it not a liability for them as a business?
What?
That I don't.
It's so risky. Like, honestly, I don't know how they've gotten away with it without, yeah, because, like, it's risky. Like, so much can go wrong, and if they have nothing in place, like, I don't know any events that even have, like, not even, like, actual fucking sex occurring, but any kind of touch or any kind of discussion around sexual anything, there's always, like, an induction and a talk about consent at the start and about boundaries and about how to, you know, approach someone, how to hear a no, how to say no. Like, that's pretty standard these days. You pretty much can't go to an event with anything to do with sexuality without doing that. So, like, it's really baffling to me that they're running, like, literally a sex club with men, which is already like red fucking flag.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're just not even like bothering with any. It's just crazy.
I reckon, sadly, that is just a reflection of cis gay male spaces in general, the clubs, you know, the long-standing gay male clubs in the north, at least, and I'm sure in the south it's just as prevalent. Consent is just not. No one cares in the club space.
Yes.
They do in all other club spaces, all other bars now. You see, you know, signs up about let the bartender know if you're uncomfortable. Yep. This is not a space for new gay male spaces. Nah.
Like it's a free-for-all. Yeah. I had someone write in a TMI story, yes, and he said, oh, I was in a gay bar and I was just, like, ordering a drink, and this guy, like, grabs my dick and says, like, oh, it's pretty small.
Can
I was,
yeah.
Who do you think you are, fucking Trump? Like, you can't just go around grabbing people's dicks, let alone negging them about their penis size.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the fuck kind of culture happens at these gay bars? Like,
it's wild. So you made a comment earlier about, like, welcome to women's experience, like what we've been experiencing. But right, so I've very much been leaning into my, like, femme clothing like, in the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And the change in how I get treated now, and I kept going, oh, this is just I thought it was just a slut-shamey thing. I was like, I've got a short skirt on at the club, so that means they think they can do, you know, touch me however they want to touch me. I think it's more of a reflection of people think they can touch women or anyone feminine however they want, whether you're dressed in a scantily clad or not.
Yeah.
If it's a feminine thing, then you've somehow perceived to have less power, less agency.
Yeah. Then in their mind, you're in the category of like feminine / woman, and you just get downgraded in terms of how much respect they have for you and how much they bother with caring about your well-being and having any empathy towards you. And also just feeling sexually entitled to your body.
Yes. Yes.
That's something that's like, cause it's like where all of these, you know, these like consent breaches most commonly happen aren't really overt like acts that we think of as like rape, of like the really aggressive, like forceful. Yep. Most of the sexual assault that happens is like more subtle and insidious, and it's when there's an intersection of men's entitlement to our bodies sexually and to taking pleasure and less empathy for us as women. So like they're just entitled opportunists. That's how this amazing woman, Chanel Contos, who wrote Consent Laid Bare,
right,
she calls them entitled opportunist rapists, and they're the most common category.
Right, okay.
And no one even, they don't realize they're rapists. Even the people who are victims of them don't realize because it's so normalized. They'd be mortified if anyone
called them out.
I'm getting her on the podcast. We're going to have a big old chin wag about it. But, it's like it's really opened my eyes up to just how true that is. Like it sounds like, oh, come on, that's crazy. But, like, no, like literally like most men are brought up to have less empathy for us and to feel entitled to taking what they want, especially when it's off women because we're not equals.
Yep.
We're not as equal humans to them. So if you're dressing like a quote-unquote woman, then, like, you're just downgraded in their mind automatically.
And that makes sense why it was such a shock to me, I guess, because I've felt like the entitled, you know, for so long. All of a sudden, it's
the shoes on the other foot.
And I was like, well, wait, I consider myself to hold myself quite strong, you know, but it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You present a certain way, and as you say, that entitlement and opportunistic, someone can see your butt a bit further. Yeah, poking out under your skirt. Well,
yeah. And like, there's also that the whole thing around like, oh, like boys will be boys and they can't help themselves. And like, oh, like if you know you're dressed like that, then like you're dangling it in their face. Like, what can you expect? Like, they don't have any self control. That's normal. They're boys, and it's like that is so normalized that they basically have a free pass to get away with all of this like horrific behavior. Because the standards that we hold men to are so fucking low.
Yeah.
Because boys will be boys. And it's just like that adds another layer of like, I guess like entitlement and then a lack of accountability and almost like an expectation that they will do that and that is just behaving like a man. So like they're conforming to the man box expectations of, you know, how they should behave and how a man acts and, oh, God.
How does anyone expect that is going to like, what is this going to result in? Like, am I meant to turn around and enjoy this? And like,
I don't think they care if you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Which is a sad thing. I know.
Excuse this quick interruption. I'm shamelessly seeking reviews and 5-star ratings for the potty because, as I'm sure you've noticed by now, it's pretty fab. And the more people who get to hear it, the more people I can help with it. Reviews and ratings actually do make a big difference to this little independent podcaster. And it's really easy to just quickly show your support by taking that simple act of either leaving 5 stars for the show on Spotify or even better, writing a written review and leaving 5 stars over on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're a real overachiever, you can do them both. That would be mad. If you're writing a review, though, just be sure to use G-rated words because despite the fact that this is a podcast about sexuality, words like sex can be censored and your review won't make it through the gates. Lame. Anyway, I would personally recommend doing that right now while you remember just to get on top of it and let me know you're with me on this journey. Thanks, gang. Enjoy the rest of the epi.
Goodness. So do you have a TMI story for us while we're on the topic?
Yeah, I do. I was living in Berlin. I had just started sleeping with men maybe 6 months earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 24, still very fresh to, I don't know,
cute
life experience.
And gay sex.
And the German people are, especially in Berlin, very sexually experienced. Oh, I don't. That's too generalized.
The DTF. They're quite sexual people.
Yeah.
Or comfortable in their sexuality, or
maybe just hypersexualized.
Right.
Yeah. The kink scene in Berlin is wild.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Whether they're like that before they moved to Berlin or not, who knows? But anyway, I was only 24. I reckon he was 42.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Came over late at night. We met on Grindr, classic. And we had great sex. It was quick, penetrative. I topped him. And I was being very cautious at the time, which is good. So I had my, I had a condom on. I was very whatever. Not knowing about, all the preventative medication that I could take, whatever. Mm. Anyway, we had good sex. And he wanted me to come up inside him, and so I did. And then, I've jumped out slowly, and we're just laying there. And he goes, "Can I ask you something?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, go for it." And he goes, "I want you to take that condom, make sure you catch all the cum, and I want you to drip it onto my face." And I was like, "Oh, okay, yep, no worries." Like,
I can do that.
Well, to try anything, right? Why not? What's the whole point of, exploring? I was like, hot. He's into it. Great. So drip it on his face. And shortly after, his immediate reaction was, "Wow, that is some of the strongest smelling spunk I've ever come across." Oh. I was fucking mortified. I was mortified. Nowadays, I'd be like, "Get it, okay, sure, enjoy, lucky you." But at the time, I was too inexperienced. I was too, and I just
kind of like someone telling us our pussy stinks,
right?
Like, or that it's pungent, and immediately in our minds, we're like, "Come on, I'm disgusting." Like,
panic.
Oh,
panic,
babe.
Uh huh. And I'm such a like hygiene freak. I'm like, everything has to smell perfect, full body moisturized before any interaction. But yeah, I was like
so dewy all the time,
fresh out the shower every time you see me. Yeah, so that was, god, that was a wild one. That was hard to sit with. Are
you conscious about the smell of your jizz after that?
Absolutely. It changed my whole diet. he was great about it. I said, "Oh, holy fuck, oh, I'm so sorry." I think I started apologizing. Like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Like, oh, He's like, "I did not say it was a bad thing." He's like, "I found it really hot. Don't worry about it at all." And I was
nice.
Thanks.
Yeah, great. Cool. Good. Okay. But, still, the damage was a little bit done, I imagine.
Absolutely. It was,
That's such a vulnerable thing, especially just starting out in your gay sexual career, and then doing something you've never done before and be like, "Okay, not my normal move, but I'll give it a go for you." And then to hear that, I think I'd struggle to recover from that for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
When I was young, that would have just fucked me up.
Exactly. Exactly. He would have been the third or fourth man that I'd had sex with. So it was still very fresh. But in hindsight, hot.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Get it.
Hot idea from him. Whatever it smells like, I don't care, hot.
I remember when I first had a lover who was just so into every bodily smell and fluid and wanted to, I think we're camping and I, went out to pop a squat and do a wee, and he was like, "Don't wipe on it, lick the urine off you," and he would lick my armpits and just really got in my grill, and I was also obsessed with hygiene, very self-conscious. This was years and years ago. I was really that was a real edge for me. I was "Oof, okay, he's telling me he really likes the taste and the smell of all of me, but that makes me feel so squeamish, and I am struggling to believe him enough and be comfortable enough." But it was actually, once I surrendered to that and kind of really just started to see he wasn't lying, he was really into that, and it really turned him on. That was very healing for me.
Yes,
getting more comfortable with my body, and
absolutely.
Yeah,
I get what you mean. They're hard to believe, that like to trust.
Yeah.
You're not just saying that to make me feel better. Like, you really are into that? I find it with like sweating during sex. Just naturally sweaty girl.
I'm so, a sweaty girl.
Yeah.
Sweat a lot. Mum tells me I'm like a little rainforest, little ecosystem.
Oh my God. A system of your own. I love that. But yeah, and when like when I top, it will, you know, there's a high chance I might drip from my face like onto you.
Yeah.
Hope that's okay. And so many men love it. Oh, most of them love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's made me, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Confident about, yeah. 100%. Yeah. You're pretty clean living kind of guy as well. And I think like if you're into someone's pheromones and their BO because you've got that compatibility, you know, then it's like fucking God's nectar, you know?
Yes.
I'd bury my face in someone's armpit if I like their pheromones and their smell. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And isn't it such a, like, you can sense that pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
See that I like the smell of your skin or I don't.
I hate it when people wear, like, because I don't use any, I make any skincare or products that I use myself out of totally natural ingredients. And for the most part, I don't use any, like, I don't wear deodorant or anything.
Yep.
And I find it really hectic now because I'm not used to it when like someone's got like deodorant and cologne and all of these chemically like smells and it masks their natural smell and I'm like, oh,
it's me right now. I'm surprised you didn't see when I walked in.
Smell like overpowering, but I mean if I tried to bury my face in your armpit, I might be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, because I want to smell you. Yeah. Like, and I struggle when people have got all these products and I'm like, I can't even tell if I like your smell because you're always covered in chemicals.
Yes.
And it's disrupting my endocrine system. Thank you very much. Yeah. Not into it.
Yeah. I remember reading a Grindr profile of a man once who just said, if you're wearing perfume, like, don't message me. Off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a,
yeah,
you know, not attracted to it.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously if someone just has like really bad BO and stuff, like I'd probably prefer that they do wear deodorant rather than that. But then I'm generally not, you know, attracted to someone unless I like their natural smell anyway. Yes. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was a shame. I went on the other night, on Thursday night. Oh, I was like, it's such a different environment, which is beautiful. It's not, you know, as we talked about, beefed up, you know, cis men. It's much more body positive, much more gender diverse. But there were a few people with some severe BO and I was like, this is also killing my buzz. Like I did not come to soak in the spa and smell that. But, you know.
I really struggle with smells, like I'm quite sensitive to, like on one hand I'm like, don't wear deodorant, but also you better just smell delicious, like you eat well or something, I don't know, like it's, you know, I mean, I'm just being a cunt about it, but I'm very sensitive to smell, so like it's definitely a consideration, like if someone's got rancid BO, obviously I'm not judging them, it's not necessarily their fault, although sometimes I feel like, you know, you could do something about that. But I struggle to be around it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Smell is like a big deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm the same as you. I'm sensitive to it with
anything.
With food, with I've just moved into a new apartment and it has a smell to it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You'll be able to replace that pretty quickly with your own smell, hopefully.
You hope so.
Surely.
It's a bit of a, like chemically smell or something.
New apartment?
No.
Not even.
Nope.
Hmm. Maybe they just did a hectic end of lease clean.
True.
And there's so many chemicals in there and you just need to like air it out, burn some fucking candles, get some salt lamps happening.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Just like have some sex in there, steam it up, just really like get your own musk.
Yes. I need to line that up. Yeah. That's it. 100%. Yeah.
Fuck. All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to say that you feel like we haven't covered on the topics that we're sort of been dancing around?
I don't think so. I think we got our sauna consent moment in there, didn't we?
And like heard all about, like that's a whole other world that I've never experienced, the queer sauna. vibe. Like, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like a bit of a veteran now at it. Because I've been going...
6 weeks for 2 years. Yeah, that's exactly. Pretty, that's, you're a reg.
Yeah.
Well, I think especially then you should have some pull with, you know, you had that chat with security, but maybe like have another one.
Absolutely.
And be like, this needs to be introduced every night. And if anyone's listening to this and you go to that, you should also just like have, like, mention it. And then the more people that pick at them to do a proper consent induction and kind of, you know, process, the better. And then maybe we can, yeah, get that happening.
Absolutely. There's, yeah, we've got to make it a more comfortable space. So yeah. There's no reason I can't push for it. Yeah.
Community service.
Oh, yeah. We've got to do something outside the corporate grind. We've got to give back.
One other thing that I also want to, it's not really related, but yeah. I wanted to slip it into the potty because, like, I absolutely adore this.
Mm.
So you're a lawyer.
Yes.
You have been experimenting with dressing more feminine lately. And obviously in your kind of industry and workplace, it's super toxic mask vibes. Yes. Like, you know, and we've been talking about how you're keen to, like, just, you're getting more and more disruptive with, like, the things that you're wearing to work, but the final kind of frontier will be when you wear high heels in the courtroom.
Absolutely.
And I'm so excited. Like, I'm definitely going to come. Like, when you get a client that's down with that and you're like, okay, Freya, like, we're on, I'm going to come and I'll sit there and fucking cheerlead you.
Can you imagine?
I can't wait.
Hello, Your Honor. I honestly, that is one of the, because all I want to do is be my most queer self in any given setting, but 9 to 5, it's fucking hard. The legal industry is so backward. There's one barrister I can think of who's transitioned, like, fucking get it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it is just the most narrow-minded, toxic,
cis hets in suits.
Oh, my God. Even, and unfortunately, I've worked for many female bosses, all my jobs, the last 5, 6 years. And to be honest, they're women who have taken on the role of.
Yeah, it's just internalized misogyny.
Yes.
Rife boss bitch culture. Yeah.
That.
Unsurprising.
So, it's a challenge that's going to take some time, but I'm feeling more and more confident in my place in the industry.
Yeah.
Each sort of year that goes by, and if I can wear femme to court, that would
be a game changer for you'll really be trailblazing in your industry. Like, I think that will be really powerful and, like, yeah, like, I reckon we can get a bunch of people to come on down and support you as well, like,
that'd
in the courtroom.
Cool. That'd be
like,
cool.
Just what, like, yeah. I mean, if you'd feel comfortable, because, like, that's a fucking very worthy cause. And I know a lot of people that would be absolutely impassioned by the thought of, like that's full-blown activism.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I try and treat it every day in the office.
Yeah.
When I just talk authentically about who I am and what I've done on the weekend.
Yeah.
That I consider activism.
100%.
So to push it so much further. But we young queer people need leading people
in that
industry
models.
If they want to be in a boring paper pusher job like me. They should be able to see someone
wearing high heels in court.
Absolutely. Fucking, with their hairy legs poking out the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so excited. I think that, I'm so stoked. Like, people, up and coming baby queers are lucky to have someone like you in the world. Thanks for being on my potty.
Thank you for having me. I was nervous and I'm so glad we've gotten to do it.
It's not that bad.
No.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Hey, me again. If you'd like to support the potty and you've already given it 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, I want to mention that you can buy some really dope merch from the website and get yourself a Labia Lounge tote, tee, togs. Yep, you heard that right. I even have Labia Lounge bathers. Or a cute fanny pack if that'd blow your hair back. So if fashion isn't your passion, though, you can donate to my Buy Me a Coffee donation page, which is actually called Buy Me a Soy Chai Latte, because I'll be the first to admit, I'm a bit of a Melbourne cafe tosser like that. And yes, that is my coffee order. You can do a once-off donation or an ongoing membership and sponsor me for as little as 3 fat ones a month. And I also offer one-on-one coaching and online courses that'll help you level up your sex life and relationship with yourself and others in a really big way. So every bit helps, because it ain't cheap to put out a sweet podcast into the world every week out of my own pocket. So I will be undyingly grateful if you support me and my biz financially in any of these ways. And if you like, I'll even give you a mental BJ with my mind from the lounge itself. Saucy. I'll pop the links in the show notes. Thank you. Later. And that's it, darling hearts. Thank you for stopping by the Labia Lounge. Your bum groove in the couch will be right where you left it, just waiting for you to sink back in for some more double L action next time. And in the meantime, if you'd be a dear and subscribe, share this episode, or leave a review on iTunes, then you can pat yourself on the snatch, because that, my dear, is a downright act of sex-positive feminist activism. And you'd be supporting my vision to educate, empower, demystify, and destigmatize with this here podcast. Also, I'm always open to feedback, topic ideas that you'd love to hear covered, or guest suggestions. So feel free to get in touch via my website at freyagraph.com, or say hey over on Insta. My handle is freya_graph_ymt, and I seriously hope you're following me on there, because damn, we have fun. We have fun. Anyway, later, labial legends. I'll see you next time.